If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. This is the crucial chapter of Hebrews in terms of its teaching. The writer has said many things that would be startling to Old Covenant believers. He has declared Moses in the Old Covenant to be weak, useless, that there's been a change in law, a change in priesthood, that the law made nothing perfect. We saw last week in the first few verses of chapter 8 that the temple or the tabernacle in Jerusalem was merely a shadow and copy. It was never intended to be permanent. It was actually a pop-up book. Have you ever seen a pop-up book? It was a pop-up book. That temple, as well as that tabernacle in the wilderness, was merely an object lesson for what God was teaching of the real spiritual truth, of the real temple, the true tabernacle that is in heaven. Those were just copy, temporary. The high priests of old merely served as examples for the priesthood that Jesus would bring, and that they served merely a shadow. We learned something also interesting. The law came through whom? Grace and truth through whom? Which would you rather have, law or grace? I would hope you would say that. Because in verse 5, as we continue this morning, God told them in the Old Covenant, make sure, see, in verse 5, the second part, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. They were told to obey exactly the law. Do you know what the Bible says? In Deuteronomy 27:20, to those who seek to follow the law. In Deuteronomy 27:26, though God's law was wonderful, there was a clause. You ever looked at a agreement you signed, maybe for a phone or a mortgage or a contract to purchase a car? Now for 96 months now they want, you can buy a car now and they'll give you 96 months to pay for it. By that time the wheels are off, you never had the car and they've got you. But there was a clause in the law that the people in the Old Covenant, I don't know if they really paid too much attention to it. And it's found in Deuteronomy 27:26. And God said this, now that you've contracted with the law, I want to warn you. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. In other words, this. They had to do it all, or they were guilty of it all. And they all got up on those mountains and said, amen, Lord, we'll do it all. Down to the last commandment. We know Israelite history. What happened? The story is much different. They gave lip service to it, but they failed. Did you know that that was the purpose of the law? Did you know that God deliberately put that there to teach them that apart from His transforming power through the new covenant, you cannot please God? You cannot keep the old covenant and its law, and God deliberately designed it that way. He deliberately designed it that way. I want you to hold your finger there. The law is holy, just, and good, but its purpose was instruction to teach us our need of God's power and His cleansing to be right with Him. I want you to go to Romans chapter 3. When the old covenant came, God had a purpose in it. It was an instructor. What does it instruct people? Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become what? So what's the purpose of the law? God deliberately, the law is holy, just, and good. It's wonderful. Only God gave it to sinful creatures who didn't have any chance of fulfilling it. Why? Because they were fallen creatures, and God doesn't want anybody with the ability to earn their way to heaven. Did you know that? What kind of grace would that be if you have to earn your way? God said, I'm going to make a law, you're not going to be able to keep it, and I'm going to teach you just how sinful your condition and how hopeless your condition is, and that you're under a curse with the law. Because by the works of the law, no flesh. Is there exceptions there? Will be justified in His sight. This is why I get mad at fundamentalists. They sit there and think, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with those who do, and they think, wow, I've got the law measured. I can stand before the Lord. I'm a wonderful person, Lord. I didn't beat my wife. She threw things at me, but I didn't beat her. And you know you deserved it, guy. I'm wonderful. No. All the law is going to testify is just how bad we really were. Stop trying to be justified by the old covenant. No flesh will be declared righteous. You better start viewing the Ten Commandments and the law and our failure to keep it in a different light. It's to instruct us that we need God's saving grace, His unmerited favor. And that's how we are saved. Not on the basis of righteousness, which we have done. We don't have any. And Paul says, through the law comes what? Knowledge of sin. God wants you to know just how bad sin is and how much we don't measure up. Why don't we measure up? Our great-grandfather and grandmother, we all go back to the same family, so don't fight. They plunged all their descendants into spiritual inability. You want to please God, don't you? How many of you succeed in the week with your wanting to please God? How many of you say, I have a good record this week? That's the way God wanted it. He doesn't want anybody boasting before Him of how great a person. He wants to teach through the law just how bad we really are. Have you ever looked at the law? Do you feel good when you read God's Word? It convicts, doesn't it? Hold it there. Let's go to Galatians. What's the purpose of the law then, if no one can keep it? Look at Galatians 3:10. For as many as are under the law, the old covenant, are under a curse. So if you want to be bragging about how good you are before God instead of in need of His saving grace in the new covenant, you're under a curse. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous person shall what? What pleases God? That's the only ground,
is faith.
Without faith, it is how much to please Him. That's why when fundamentalists brag about how good they are and they don't do these major sins of whatever, who are you kidding? That's why fundamentalists, Bible thumpers, better stop doing this. We are all guilty, and the only ground of boasting is in what Jesus Christ did. Amen. And Paul says this, the law is not contrary to faith, but he who practices them in Galatians 3:12 shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham... Where are the blessings of Abraham? Tell me where. Genesis what? 12? 15? 22, Genesis. Genesis 12, Genesis 15 and 22. Come to whom? In order that the blessings of Abraham might come to the what? So that he would receive, so that we Gentiles would receive the promise of the Spirit. How? And just one last thing. Romans 8 says this. For what the law could not do because it was weak in the flesh. How many of you have tried to be good? To look at God's law and say, I'll do it. Do you know why you can't? Your flesh is weak. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? All right, now, that's where we want to go. That's the key to understanding the new covenant. The old covenant had no power to do anything. So what is the default response? Condemnation. But look what Paul's the writer says here. But now, verse 6. Something's changed. The old covenant is gone. The old covenant with its rules and regulations. The old covenant with its condemnation, its curse. There's been a change. But now, what event changed this? Jesus Christ, when He sat with His disciples and He had that last Passover supper with them, He said, "This is the new covenant in My blood." But now, because of the new covenant, Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as He is the mediator of a... This could have gotten the writer to the book of Hebrews stoned, what he's writing here. Remember now, let's go back. What did these people want to do? They wanted to go back to the law, go back to the old covenant and hide. And the writer warns them, you can't do that. You must never do that because the new covenant is based in better promises. And then look what he says in verse 7. For if the first covenant, and that's the law of Moses, had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second covenant. Did you just hear that? God inaugurated His law, which is holy, just, and good, but it was not faultless. It could not justify. The only thing that the law could do is demonstrate what we really are, guilty before God. It can't justify you. Everybody that brags how good they are, you're deluded if you think that. Then the writer announces the new covenant. And he quotes it from Jeremiah. And it shows that God all along had planned the new covenant. And he quotes Jeremiah 31 through 33. Now there are two places that the new covenant is mentioned that are the large portions of where the Bible discusses the new covenant. Jeremiah 31 through 33 and Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. How many of you say, I'm under the new covenant? Well, do you know where God announced what the new covenant was like? By the way, 2 Corinthians 3 says we are ministers of the new covenant. Did you know that? Christians? Ministers of the new covenant. How come we have so many Christians that want to be ministers of the law? Throw the law at everybody. Where is grace? That's why Christians should be the most gracious, loving, gentle people, because they are ministers, servants of the new covenant. Only old covenant Christians throw the law at people. You have to be very careful. So let's go back to Jeremiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah and Ezekiel and start to look at these passages. Jeremiah 31 through 33, where God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. It's a covenant of grace. I'm going to first instruct you on your sinfulness and your need of redemption and your inability in and of your own works to make yourself look good before God. Starting with verse 31, which the writer to the book of Hebrews is quoting, Jeremiah says, behold, days are coming, declare the Lord. Now you know something based in Hebrews. Hebrews 8:6, what's the two words that we said? But now. So the days that are future in Jeremiah, guess what? They're here. The new covenant is here. It isn't something in the future. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. It is now. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Well, Dave, is it only for the Jews? No. Listen to me. The new covenant includes all the seed of Abraham. What makes you a seed of Abraham? What gives you the promises of Abraham? Galatians just said it. What gives it to you? Faith in Jesus Christ. There used to be some teaching at the turn of the century that said the new covenant was only for Israel. The church gets secondary. That is not true. The new covenant is for all the seed of Abraham. So we are included. When the writer in Hebrews 8 quotes this, he's including the church in the new covenant. All of us Gentiles as the children of Abraham. What do we get under this new covenant? Behold, the days are coming and they're now here according to the book of Hebrews. I will make a new covenant, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. Remember that? They all got to Sinai. The mountain smoked, flashed, thunders, earthquakes. And guess what? Who wanted to go near that mountain? Not one of them. That would have... Shades of Steven Spielberg. Raiders of the Lost Ark, man. That would have scared everybody. But you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come boldly to the throne of grace, the book of Hebrews says. You can come with confidence because of the new covenant. Not like that covenant of old, that law covenant that they couldn't keep. Why? Because God doesn't want us bragging about righteousness. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. So before anybody gets up and brags about how wonderful they are, ain't none of us wonderful. We are all in the same bucket, saved by God's grace. As a matter of fact, I can make a case for the ones that God does choose. They're the worst because it says God has not chosen the great things of this world, the wise things, the mighty, but He's chosen the base things of this world in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That would tell you, Christian, that when God chose Dave, I was the biggest scuzz bucket that He could find. Because which gives God greater glory? Choosing the best or giving grace to the worst? You bet. That's why God wants to do it. That glorifies God much more. That's why the law condemns. That's why when you see a sinner, no matter what they're doing, that precious guy that thought by bombing people. Pray for salvation. That's what Christians should do. Do you realize what a testimony that would be to Jesus Christ if those type of people got saved and they could witness for Jesus Christ? Jesus went into a village of Samaritans and the Jews thought they should just blow Samaritans up. John said, let's call fire down from heaven on them. That's good. Jesus said, no, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. God gets the greatest glory by calling the greatest of sinners, and that's us. That's why I don't like another thing, the self-righteousness of Christians. There isn't any righteousness. It is delusional that we have any. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. My covenant which they broke. Although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Do you know that God wrote a certificate of divorce to Israel? Read it in Hosea, or is it Amos? So unfaithful was Israel that God gave the nation a certificate. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Worse than physical adultery is spiritual adultery or unfaithfulness to God. And he divorced Israel. Boy, you ought to read some of Ezekiel. Wow. The language in Ezekiel. And some of my Bible study knows that we look at some of those things, don't we, Cheryl? Oh, yeah. We won't go into that. I got to behave myself. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel and you Gentiles who are included, fully, equally included. I got to stop here. It's noon. So now we'll have to wait till next week to find out what is in the new covenant.